Well, learning to look to a God of mercy. I so appreciate this aspect of God's character. And this is the third of four messages on this concept of the mercy of God. You know, learning to look to a God of mercy. Of course, I'm going to talk about six things to look to God for, a God of mercy. And the first one, in regard to, obviously, you look to a God of mercy for his salvation. That's the first. Look to God for his salvation. I appreciate there, even in Luke, when it talks about verse 77 and 78, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. I pray for God's great, great mercy. Just as part of a father's intercession for children that are no longer live in my house. You know, I pray for their communities. I pray for their states, you know, not only this one, but one in Indiana. I pray for their businesses, for God, and I pray for God to intervene in our land. Just as God came upon me and God came upon you, however that happened, may we pray for that merciful intervention of salvation. You know, the first message we spoke on this, we was talked about the first step in learning to worship a merciful God is seeing our need. And we looked there in that Ephesians 2:4, that talked about God being rich in mercy. He gave us new life and he gave us spiritual authority there in Ephesians 2. Peter says, as he's praising God there, in 1 Peter 1, he says, blessed be the God who's caused us to be born again because of his mercy, because of his mercy. We owe our life to his mercy. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. So do you see your need for God's mercy, your indebtedness to God's mercy? You would not be here. If your spirit is able to rejoice in God, if it's able to hear God, if it's able that this book is more than just a book, it's something that God can speak to you, you praise him and you worship him for his great mercy. If you're not able to do that, you know, I know this is a church that makes very clear the gospel, but, you know, we never want to take that for granted. I know what it's like to sit there in church, and I had a wonderful family, and I think people my parents' age perhaps knew the Lord, but in that denominational church, I really didn't understand clearly. I grew up each night praying, God, if it's to be tonight, help me to go to heaven. I did not know you could rest in that. I remember a Sunday school teacher, probably told you this before. He says, if you could just have one wish, what would it be? It was a fourth grade Sunday school class. And people were saying various things. And, you know, they were saying different things. In my heart, it would be eternal life. Now, everybody, I didn't say it because everybody else was saying totally different things about what they wished. But then when the teacher spoke, he said, my wish would be eternal life. But we left it that way just as a wish. Do you know with absolute certainty that what? That you have salvation, that you have salvation, but you can look to God's mercy even right now. On this day, this March 15th, to know for certain that what? You have salvation. Now, that's the first and maybe the most important, but it's not the only. You don't graduate from looking to the merciful God when you've done that. Just as our dear brother, as he prayed and he spoke, he acknowledged, hey, we need God's mercy today. You may know Christ as your Savior. But, you know, and let me tell you another thing. And I thank God so much for this. And all of these things deserve to be elaborated far more than maybe we'll be able to do because we want to get you out at some point today, don't we? But it's this. Look to God for his merciful plan for your life. Look to God for his merciful plan for your life. You know, one of the places Paul gives his testimony is in 1 Timothy 1. There's numerous places he gives his testimony. He never tires of that. He never tires of speaking of the mercy of God. It never becomes old hat. If it becomes old hat to you, somehow, oh God, awaken you. Something's wrong. I would be in hell today were it not for the mercy of God in his wonderful and sweet and precious to you, so would you. So, but God not only, when he says in 1 Timothy 1, he says, I was the chief of sinners. I was the chief of sinners. I was the foremost of all sinners. But he said, God had mercy on me. He strengthened me, and he considered me faithful. And not only says he showed mercy in saving me, but it says he put me into service 1 Timothy 1:12. He put me in the service, even though formerly I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, I was a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy. See, it was a mercy that not only saved him, but it put him into service. So that means, he says, you know, Paul had a merciful plan for my God. Paul says, God had a merciful plan for my life. God has a merciful plan for your life. He has a merciful plan for your life. See, all of us would waste our life apart from God intervening in mercy. Even if you got to the end of your life and the world called you successful and you made a lot of money, if you didn't do that for Christ, you what? Would have wasted your life. I heard the testimony of a young man yesterday in the morning, and he was saved like he was saved at three. He said, that was really when I was saved. But he says, you know, as I went into my junior high years, it was just sort of took it for granted. And it, God intervened in his life and said, you know, boy, and only God can do this. You know, we can't do it ourselves. We can't do it anybody else. But when living for God is all that matters, it's no longer living for ourselves, but for him who died and rose on our behalf. Whatever ability you have, whatever opportunity you have. So sometimes you have to what? Experience the gospel all over again. What? Not be saved all over again, but what? It's like becomes fresh, becomes real. He has a merciful plan for your life. You see, he has good works that he's preordained for you. You know that verse as well as I. After it says, by grace you've been saved, not as a result of works. But then it says, we've been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he preordained beforehand that we should walk in them. He has a set of good works that are just for you. Just for you. You know, I pray that every day of my life as I say, God, I thank you for the good works that you've preordained for me. And I try to remember you. That each day you live, there's a set of good works for you. And say, God, I just pray you'd help me make the most of the opportunity of this day. It could be my last. But help me make the most of the opportunity of this day. God has what? A merciful plan for your life. You know, that fits you. So that's why you don't want to live in comparison. You can rejoice with other people who maybe have gifts you don't have, and that's okay. But God has a merciful plan for you. I've frequently talked about that dear missionary that we visited 7 times. There in his mission in Mexico, that Washington State farm boy who has discovered God's merciful plan there. He's just buried himself in there, been there now almost 30 years. It's a dangerous place, but it's a place of God's merciful plan for him. It's a place that has labeled him to thrive and to be an entrepreneur and not just to start churches, but also start a camp and start a business. He knows that there wouldn't have been those opportunities here. Now, not everybody has the gift mix that he has. But if you took that person, you put him in maybe a traditional church, it just wouldn't fit. God has a merciful plan, a merciful plan. Just as he did for dear Ted Clark, just as he does for you and me. See, I can look back at my life now, and that's why you take your plans and you take your ideas and you yield them to God. I mean, I won't bore you with all that, but I can think of things. I remember when I was in college, things that I reasoned out. Okay, when God found me and I reached a real surrender of my life to Christ, I was at Auburn University. I was studying business. And God enabled me to do very well. And so the ministry that had touched my life, there were 2 people involved in that ministry, the leadership of that ministry, that had gotten MBAs. One of them is the president of the organization now, Crew, but we got MBAs from Harvard. And so, Lord, I want to use my life for you. And so I would go to the Auburn Library and look at the Harvard catalog. You know, that's not necessarily an evil thing, because I thought about, okay, using that. You know, truth of the matter is, in God and his mercy, I really don't have administrative gifts. Like, you know, so there's nothing, you know, see, you can plan of a good thing, but what, it's not a fit for you. It's not a fit for you. I thought about, you know, when I sense, okay, God, you've called me into ministry, and I was in seminary, and just a logical thought, okay, I thought about, Lord, until the scriptures are translated, nothing else of the work of God can happen. And so, Lord, you know, I had experienced success in the languages I'd taken, the biblical languages, the Greek and the Hebrew, and so I was good at that. So I said, Lord, maybe you want me to be a translator, and certainly that's a noble thing. But what I discovered was this: while I'm good at analyzing, but I'm such a sight learner and such a terrible auditory learner, that's necessary to be a translator. You got to be able to hear fine distinction of sounds. And I'm at the absolute low end of the totem pole there. And so, see, that wasn't me. And probably other reasons, too. I mean, I have a student helper now, a fine man. I taught his mom and dad, and what a godly man he is. Whatever. And he's going to be a Bible translator. And so that's a glorious thing. And now, you also, to be a Bible translator, you usually have to have a little bit more of a, you know, maybe like our dear Bill raised, you know, that the Lord would have probably sent four of the missionaries to look after me, because you're usually in a very pioneer area, you know, and to defend for yourself or whatever. But anyhow, that wasn't a fit for me. God has a merciful plan. I know I badly at college, I wanted to go right into the ministry. There's nothing wrong with that. But God in his mercy overruling that through my parents' counsel, through other godly men, I needed some training, you know. So in regard to what God had called me to do. God has a merciful plan, so let him rule. Let him overrule. Don't be afraid of that. Never insist upon your own way. Just say, God, I want to be open to you for your merciful plan for my life. I thank God of his merciful plan for me, giving me a longer single life. That was part of his merciful plan for me in regard to what? Give me an opportunity to complete education. That was important to me. Now, in regard to God's merciful plan for my father's life, he said, I would have never made it without your mother going through those things. So God has a merciful plan for each one of us. It's not the same for what? Any two of us. But he has a merciful plan. Look to him for that. That's what I cry to you, that you would just take this and say, God, I look to you. Just as you had mercy upon Paul. Remember, he was the chief of sinners. He didn't deserve it. I don't deserve it. And I pray that God would intervene and give that to what? My boys. I pray he would give that to each of you. Also look to God for his merciful aid. His merciful aid. Now these are his merciful aid. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:1, he says, apart from the mercy of God, I would lose heart. Lose heart. He said, apart from the mercy of God, I lose. In other words, he said, I just give up. Now, if you live long enough, you will know what Paul means by that. I know what he means. I know that what there are times I felt like I couldn't go one more step. I feel like I couldn't go one more day. I felt like but God, and he explains what he means. He says, our outer man's decaying, but our inner man's being renewed day by day. God renews your spirit. Somehow he gives you that spark of what perspective, and he keeps you going. God is the one who keeps you going. You look to him for his merciful aid, your dear memory verse that you looked upon. We was just talking to Gary. He says, I think that's the only place, I think it is too, that he talks about the throne of grace. He says to come with freedom, or come with confidence, come with boldly. With that throne of grace, probably a story I've told you, I can't think of that verse without thinking of this spontaneous testimony a student shared one day before class started. He said, I was struggling with an ungodly habit in my life, and I was asking God to deliver me from that ungodly habit. And he says, a discerning, wise man of God came up to me in great love. And he said, you know, why are you asking God to deliver you from that ungodly habit? You know, the truth of the matter is you love that ungodly habit, don't you? You don't really want to answer that prayer. He said that was the absolute truth. He said, one of the most humbling things I ever did was to come to God and say, I'm totally ashamed of this, Lord. But the truth of the matter is, I love this ungodly habit, and I don't really want you to deliver me from it. You know what else he told me? That was the beginning of breaking the ungodly habit. You know what he did? He came with freedom. He came with freedom. That's the idea of that verb. He came with freedom, with boldness, to the throne of grace. And what happens when you do that? He was met with what? Mercy, sympathetic understanding, and grace, fresh energy and motivation and power to overcome. You see, when you got to come to the end of yourself, as long as you can work it out, you don't need his mercy. You don't need his grace. But whatever there is in your life that shows you can't, thank him for that. You know, Timothy had this enormous administrative responsibility there over the churches of Ephesus. And when Paul writes that letter to him, two letters, 1st and 2nd Timothy, you'll notice that the traditional greeting is grace and peace be to you. And that's just not saying hello. It means what? You'd experience God's gracious enablement. You'd know the peace that comes from casting all your cares upon him. But for Timothy, he says, grace, mercy, and peace. See, he knew, like what, Timothy, I know you're prone to have a little fear. You're prone to want to quit. And Timothy, I know what that feels like. Apart from the mercy of God, I'd give up. I'd lose heart. But Timothy, I want to tell you, in God's mercy, he can renew your inner man. He can keep you going. He can keep you going. When you're tempted to give up. See, sometimes a person can give up and they still sort of go through the motions. But the truth of the matter is, see, there's, and God forbid, but there's scores of people and that what need to be met today, just like I've need to be continually met, that come into church and they're sitting there and they're, look, respect, you know, truth of the matter is they have given up on the inside. They've given up. Why is it what? Because there's not, why be wholehearted about something that you're not sure works? And so you just go into the motions. If it doesn't work, let's all get out of it. It does work. May God in his mercy, you say, I need to be met by you. That merciful aid, that merciful aid. Apostle Paul says, by the mercy of God, I'm a trustworthy man. These weren't just words to him. He says, I knew that merciful aid that transformed me into a trustworthy man. I can thank God for the mercy that has transformed me, and I've definitely desperately needed that transformation. If you have honesty and truth, you know, that's not, all men are liars, Scripture says. That's my nature. But God can make you into something that you're not. You know, another, and this is precious to me, looking to God, not only for his salvation, for his merciful plan, for his merciful aid, but looking to God for his healing and support. His healing and support. And I get this is such a precious concept to me. Philippians 2:27. Just ministered, talking to somebody. I don't know if it ministered to them as much as it. But anyhow, they're grieving over the soon homegoing of a dear father and father-in-law. I mentioned this. I said, you know, in Philippians 2:27, Paul had a good friend. His name was Epaphroditus. It says, Epaphroditus was sick to the point of death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me. Now, here is what that passage teaches, that God has mercy on the sick person, and God has mercy on the person concerned about the sick person. Now, in this case, God mercifully healed Epaphroditus. And that was God's mercy to Epaphroditus because his time wasn't done with him. Now, it may be very likely that God's time's done with this gentleman that's well into his 80s. But here's the thing, okay, God had healed Epaphroditus because what? God says, you know, Paul, I know you need Epaphroditus. I'm not going to take him yet. Now, here's the glorious thing you can trust God for. I remember this was many years ago in the early days of my marriage, just knowing how close my wife is with her mother. And I remember I was down teaching class in Florida, and I remember being up almost all night just praying. I said, you know, my wife's never really experienced loss of something. And so I just pray, God, you had prepared, and it was many, many years later, so God took her mother home. But I just pray, God, would you mercifully prepare her when that does happen? Well, it has happened now. And God did answer that. See, here's the thing. Rather than say, maybe I've told you this before, rather than say, all I need is Jesus, you say, all I need is Jesus and what Jesus chooses to provide. Never demean his merciful provision. You know, if there are loved ones in your life that greatly used you, you know what? They're merciful, God's merciful provision to you. And you know, here's the thing that you cling to. Here's the thing that helps you take that shield of faith and knock away those fiery darts of fear. What if something happened to that person? What if it happened? You know what? That's what I tried to tell this person. You know, I know what a stable person this father-in-law and father is. But if God were to take him, he's going to be a God of mercy to you. He's going to be a God of mercy to you. I mean, I thank God I had my father. I was 24, so that's young, and he was young. But, you know, God was a God of mercy to me. I thank God I had my mother longer than that. And so when a loss is a loss, humanly speaking. But God can fill the hole, and that doesn't mean that it's easy at all. Talked to a recent widow this past week that I didn't realize that her husband had gone to be with the Lord. Now maybe some of you know it was Rebecca Coriel. Maybe you know that name or whatever. Ron Coriel. I didn't realize that they remember one of the great gifts they gave to us as a young couple, and when we had it for, they had these little memory cards, and very creative memory cards, and they gave us a stack of them, sort of a stick figures on the front, even though he was quite artistic. He made it that way because it'd be transferable. And just before our boys could even speak, you know, we'd just go through those. It was such a help to me, so I wanted to make a set for my son, you know. and for some other people. And so I just wanted to make sure that that was okay to them. I mean, they, in one sense, they sold them. I give them away, and they said, oh, it's fine. You know, so I just want to make sure that was okay. So I called them. And but that's when I realized that I called the school that he had started. They brought him down there as a headmaster to a school. Interesting, just to, now they raised three godly daughters, and they're all married and have godly families. But they brought him out as a headmaster to start just a Christian preschool, you know, for people who wouldn't, you know, just a preschool and went up to maybe second grade or whatever. Just a, so anyhow, they're individuals that try to reach. You know, thank God that's merciful provision for people unlike you, you know, that want, that know and see the importance of instilling godly things in those children. People that wouldn't do that, but still, there's a spiritual battle around those young ones' life. And so, anyhow, but God has been a God of mercy to her. Not that it's easy at all. Not that it's easy at all. And so I thank God for that. God, so you know that God's going to be a God of mercy to you. He's going to be a God of mercy to you to the very end. His healing and support. In regard to spiritual warfare, we alluded to that one time in an earlier message saying, you know, the psalmist says, He delivered me from my strong enemy, for my enemies were too mighty for me. I was saying that to a person early this morning that I met as a exercise and showered, and he asked me what I was speaking on, and I told him, I said, you know, really understanding, looking to the mercy of God, I said, we're in a battle too big for us. We're in a battle too big. You have an enemy of your soul that's wiser than you. He's stronger than you. He's more powerful than you, but whatever. But you can look to a merciful God. Remember what the dear lady came to Jesus one day, and she said, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. Look to God in your what? In your spiritual battles. You can look to God. You know, Scripture says we're not to be ignorant of his schemes. You say, God, in your mercy, would you just give me insight into the schemes he's trying to use against me? And give me insights into how to grab a hold of your strength and your armor in the midst of that. Look to him. And the one other thing I would say here, and that is look to God for his merciful comfort to you. That's your 2 Corinthians 1 passage. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in our affliction. And you know what? That comfort is going to be sufficient. So that not only is sufficient for you, but sufficient so you can overflow and give it to others. Because you say, I know what some people say, boy, you talk about a merciful God. Boy, sometimes life is sure hard. Why is it so hard if he's so merciful? Well, you know, there was something that, you know, I told my wife that we're looking to the Lord for in regard to his mercy. And I said, and this was just very real. I said, you know, and maybe there are things like that in your life too, that, you know, it's like problems that don't just instantly go away, challenges that don't instantly go away, wherever they may be, in your family, your work, or whatever they may be. But, you know, I just sensed this from God, as I said, you know, God, in his mercy, is allowing that because of the greater purification he wants to do in me. And that's not a new thought, but it was a fresh word from him in regard to today, in regard to fresh application of that. So never, don't despise God's merciful provisions for you. When you say, life is not always as fun as eating pizza and ice cream, and I understand that, but he's still a God of mercy, a God of mercy, a God of mercy, who can comfort you. And you know, the passage that says, spoke so much to me, and as I've told you that story, so I won't go into detail again, but just when a lady had said something to me that really put in my life almost a fear of what might happen. Whenever you get that mindset in you, that's an ungodly mindset. That's the way the devil has you on the run. You feel what might happen, what might happen, what might happen. But the verse of Scripture that, and I live with that, but the verse of Scripture that dispelled that lie was, it's right there in that 1 Corinthians 1:5. Just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also his comfort is abundant to us through Christ. His comfort is abundant. What God said to me this morning is, you never, ever, 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 and I say that to you, be a fear of what might happen. Because God says, whatever happens, whatever I allow, you know what? My comfort is going to be sufficient. My comfort is going to be sufficient. It's only going to be sufficient for you. It's going to be sufficient that you can overflow. And that takes a lot of fears away, is it not? What if this happened? What if this happened? What if this happened? Well, you know, you don't have to think about that. You just can say what? in a conversation with Gary this morning, he quoted that his grace is sufficient. You know, and I know that's not just a trite thing or whatever. That's a precious thing. It is. It is. It is. It is. It will always be. Thank God for that. Well, learning to look to a merciful God for his salvation, for his merciful plan for your life, for his merciful aid in your life, coming with freedom to that throne of grace to experience that today, for his healing and support, to realize he's always going to be a God of mercy to you in your physical need. He's going to be a God of mercy to you in regard when you're concerned about a loved one and their physical need. In regard to your spiritual battle, that's too big for you, but he's sufficient for it. And also looking to him for his comfort. However you needed to be comforted today, I pray that God would do that above and beyond we could ask or think. I'll close in prayer, and thank you so much. I do teach one of these intensive class next week, too, that I'm just in Chicago, but do have to be away from my family. So if I come to mind, I thank you so much for your prayers for that. Father, thank you for these precious ones, and we pray that you would glorify your name and glorify your merciful name, Lord, as we look to you in these areas. We pray, God, you'd cause this message to bear that hundredfold fruit in all of these dear ones' life. Rebuke the evil one from snatching it away. We pray this for your glory. Amen. God bless you.